Thanks for tuning in on your favorite podcast app as you hang out and listen to the essential voices of the aftermarket that are paying it forward to help shape the future of the automotive aftermarket. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and there's only one Remarkable Results Radio podcast that you've come to love. Hey, some of the greatest stories, relevant content, and must-hear panel discussions to help the industry rise to new levels are right here. I'm the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, helping you understand the coaching side of our industry with Rick White, President and Lead Coach for 180 Biz. Rick will help you understand and appreciate the shop owner and business coach dynamic. Coaching, Rick says, is all about relationships and communication. I bet you've heard that before. Hey, none of this is possible without my sponsors. It's Apex and Shopware that bring you this really great interview. Shopware wants you to wow your customers, wow them while keeping your distance. Even while staying 6 feet apart, Shopware's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. Completely digital workflow allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Request a demo at GetShopware. That's GetShopware.com. Hey, now for all the right reasons, we're not going to be face-to-face at Apex, yet Apex 2020 is going to be a virtual experience, which actually has defined this entire year for many of us. It's still happening the week of November 3rd, and there's still going to be a strong focus meeting the needs of the service repair community, and that's great news. Details will be ready August 19th. There's more information on the website, aapexshow.com/FAQS. Rick and I, well, we're talking about why a shop does not have a coach and how failure only happens when you refuse to learn from it.
The hardest thing to replace is lost time with your family. It's when you're home, but you're still at the shop. You know what I'm talking about, right, Carm? Right? You go home and you're just kicking your ass all evening about something that didn't go right or something you didn't say or whatever it is, and it tears at you, man.
More with Rick White in a minute. Now, if you don't value this pure form of audible aftermarket wisdom, just think about the talk radio that you listen to. What we do here is bring specific aftermarket acumen to you on demand, free, and 24/7. This is pure aftermarket networking at your pace. We've got you covered from access to content that has no audio rival. Have you checked out AftermarketWeekly.com and watched all archived video episodes? Well, you can find this fast-paced aftermarket magazine-style show that includes a shop tour right on the website, AftermarketWeekly.com. It's unmistakably unique and refreshingly different. Find all episodes on my website, too. Now prepare for an excellent interview, Why Coaching, with Rick White. Hey, warm welcome to my friend and business coach from 180 Biz, Rick White. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Carm. Good morning. How are you?
I am peachy, peachy keen. You and I spoke this week. We were talking about some really neat things about coaching, and I said, come on, let's just take this great dialogue and get it on record. And it's totally unscripted, off the cuff, and it's Carm and Rick White just talking stuff.
And the stuff that we were talking about is we were talking about the coaching, and somehow the conversation came up with what stops a shop owner from getting a coach. I sat down and through my experience, I've been doing this now, Carm, believe it or not, for 17 years, which is absolutely amazing to me.
Do you regret it at all?
Oh my gosh. I haven't worked a day in 17 years. Because I just love what I'm doing that much. It's just absolutely incredible.
Is it because you love to help people? You love to, you know, it's kind of like plant a tree and you watch it grow.
It really is amazing to see other people. And, you know, the funny part is, even as a coach and getting some of the feedback we get, you never know or aware of the impact you have on people. Sometimes forever, but a lot of times not for a long time. I have one client right now that I'm coaching for the third time. We started coaching probably 2003 for a couple of years, and then we did it again in 2007, 2008, and then we started about 3 years ago. And each time we're going a little deeper on stuff. And understand that when you're working with a coach and you get as much as you can off of them, it doesn't mean that's all they have to offer, right? We can go a lot deeper on different subjects. It's just they're not ready for it. You can only absorb so much. We went out to dinner with him and his wife, my wife and I, Brenda. He shared the story that when he started coaching with me the first time, He was 1 week from closing his doors. Just amazing. Just amazing. And this last time we started coaching, he calls me up. And he says, my dream shop just became available. It's $1.3 million. I need to figure out how to make it happen. And he's been in there now for almost 3 years.
Do you find this happening a lot? You know, now 17 years under your belt, you have a lot to look back on. And you just mentioned a shop owner coming on one, two, three times, on and then off, and then on and then off. That on and off, is it because they need to assimilate what they've learned? They're just tapped out as far as the accountability factor of a coach, and they just want to settle down? And then my part two of that question is, do they realize that they kind of sunk a little deeper than they should have, and then they want to prop themselves up to a next and new level, so they'll go into a coaching scenario?
It depends on different shops. I mean, I had one shop I coached for 9 months, but we tripled their sales. You know, I told them that they should be doing $150,000 a month in sales, and he told me I was on drugs. 9 months later, he apologized. But then that was all he really wanted to need, and he felt really good. With this particular client, the first time he felt like he was in a good place, so he stopped. Then he fell kind of into a rut, and I stay in touch with my clients, and was reaching out. His wife had some health issues, so I was reaching out, and I asked how things were going, and he said that she was doing very well, but the way he said it, it really kind of left the door open to something wasn't. So I asked what was going on. He said, shop's really struggling. I said, would you like to sit down and talk? And we had a really great growth spurt out of that. But then it came to a point where I was really pushing him to get to the next level, to grow a little bit more, push on the marketing, and he just wasn't comfortable with it. At that point, he said, I'm going to stop. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then this time here, we've really upped the game. We've gone really deep into leadership and what that means. And he is now not an absentee owner, but he is a hands-off owner. He's not in the day-to-day now. And it's been a big transition for him, right? We have this new class we have that we're putting together that's called From CEO to CEO. And it's from Chief Everything Officer to Chief Executive Officer. Because when we start out, we do everything. And again, these 17 years of coaching are packed up with over 35 years, believe it or not, in this industry. I've done every stupid thing you could possibly think of doing, but figured out how to get it, right? Wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from mistakes.
Did I tell you how many mistakes I made yesterday, and I thought I knew what I was doing?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I mean, when I was 20 years old, Carm, I knew everything. And here I am, I just turned 58, and I'm amazed at how little I know.
What I think is important, and it goes back to the ego and the humbling things that you learn, you know, if you fail forward and learn from your mistakes, which I seem to make big blunders lately. I mean, we were doing an aftermarketweekly.com, and I had this big mistake brewing with why I couldn't get the live shop tour going. And when I stopped to analyze it, I realized that I made a huge, big blunder on my very own. But what happened, and I think you can appreciate this, I designed a system around why I failed so that it won't happen again.
See, people call it failure, but here's the thing. We get results every time. Every day we get a result. Now, if it's a good result, we go home with a smile and we feel like $1 million. But if it's a bad result, we feel like it's a failure, it's a mistake, and it's not, it's just a lesson. The only failure comes when you've refused to learn from it, right? When you refuse to learn from the mistake, from the setback, from the challenge, that is where failure comes from. Otherwise, it's just feedback. How can you do this better? How can you do it more elegantly? How can you get it so that it never happens again? Your goal as a business owner, one of them, is to get out of fire putting out mode and go into fire prevention mode. So there's one more step. After you get that fire put out in your shop today, you need to step back, think it through, and then talk to your team and come up with a way so that you never experience that fire again. And that's when your business really starts to take off, because you get everybody on board and you move forward with it. It's a lot of fun when you start going into prevention mode. Tony Robbins says that wherever focus goes, energy flows. Isn't it amazing when you're focused on putting out fires, how you seem to get more fires every day? You got to get off of that and start getting into a better way of looking at your business and seeing your business, and it'll make a big difference.
You never discount the goof or the mistake. I always pull away, what can I learn from it? And how can I get better? And years ago, and I think there's a lot of people in our industry in the position of, oh my God, I was a tech, I'm a CEO, I've got this brand new F-150 out in the driveway, we've got the beach house, the cottage, you know, all that stuff, and I'm supposed to be the answer man. I mean, everything, the sun rises and falls on every decision that I make every day, and deep down inside, I'm not even sure I'm making the right ones. My business is suffering from it, my family is suffering a little bit, but I can't get out of this scenario that I built, that I'm all-knowing, I'm Oz.
And it's funny, because when we were talking the other day, this is what we really kind of spun this into, was why does a shop not coach? And you asked me that question, and I said, boy, I think this would be a really good thing to get on air, right? If we could sit down and talk about this, because there's a lot of shop owners out there that really do genuinely need some guidance and some help. And I thought this through, and the first thing I thought of, I came up with three reasons why they don't as a rule. And the first is expectation. Right? You're working at another shop and you see the other owner, you see the owner that you're working with making all kinds of money.
Now, if you're listening through audio and you're not watching our video, Rick's got the air quotes up.
Yeah, I got some serious air quotes going on. Oh man, they're making all kinds of money, right? And I can do this. And it doesn't take long before we realize there's a huge difference between being able to fix a car and being able to run a business. And when you think about it, you're only seeing the gross sales that shop is generating, maybe. And I want you to think about something for a second. The national average for net profit in our industry is 5 to 7%. So if you have a $4,000 day, the average shop made $200 profit. I don't know about you, but that ain't worth getting out of bed for.
That's an awful lot of work for so little.
Oh man, the pain, the pressure, the blood, sweat, and tears, the drama, all of it we have to go through. So we go into this with this expectation that they're going to make all this money. I can do the same thing. And the scary thing is you have no idea how close to that, to failure maybe that owner is. And you do go out and do exactly the same thing. So the expectation, number one, that, you know, there's all this money and I can do it. That's the first thing. The first expectation, the false expectation. The second is that expectation where I have to be the answer man, that I have to know it all. And the third expectation that's false is I can figure it out. And here's the truth. You can figure it out all by yourself. You can figure it out. But doing that is going to take decades. It is going to be excruciatingly painful, and it's going to cost you so much, not in money spent, but in profits lost. Okay? Now, change, growth hurts. There's discomfort with it. Any good coach is going to push that shop owner outside of what they're comfortable doing, because everything they want out of their business, out of life, is on the other side of the fear that's holding them back. Okay? The first thing you need to do is understand that these expectations are false and they're unfair to you. And I'm talking to you, shop owner. I know you're listening. These are unfair to you. You're not supposed to know it all. And why would you not want to tap into a resource that can help you compress decades into days? Decades into days. I'm working with one client now, a truck shop out in Indiana. When we first started working together, he was doing $500,000 in sales. Last year, he ended up at right around $800,000, $850,000 in sales. He's on track for 1.2 right now. Two techs. That's the other thing we get that really scares me is Michelangelo said it best. The danger in setting goals is not setting them too high and missing them. It's setting them too low and hitting them. Your expectations, I guarantee you, aren't big enough. You have so much potential in your business and you just have no idea. You need that outside influence. And the reality is there's so many good coaches out there. I am honored to know such a great, you know, Bill Haas, Cecil, Bob Greenwood, Cecil Bullard, Vic Trasic.
Oh my God, Brian Gillis, David Justice. Just go down the list. I mean, there's a lot of independents. There's a lot of big coaching companies, and we've interviewed 20 probably in the podcast, and I probably know another 25.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. This brings me into the second reason why. Once a shop owner says, okay, I really do need help, because why do we need the help? A lot of times what's happening is we get more and more disappointed and disillusioned. We had a dream in the beginning, right? I want you to go back to the first day. I want you to think, just close your eyes and think about that day you were standing in front of the shop door for the very first time. And you're about to open that door. All you saw was opportunity. What was your dream then, right? But what happens is over time, if you're not careful and if you're not, you don't get the help that a lot of people need, you end up getting disillusioned and bitter about things. And it starts to impact your personal life. You start to want to escape. You want to go home and just watch TV and you're not engaging with the kids. Or maybe you're drinking a little bit more than you used to. And different things like that, you're self-medicating because you're not getting what you really believe is possible. So what happens is you get into this thing where you're like, okay, I need help. I've had people come to me and said, hey, if I don't get help, my wife's leaving me. I mean, it's scary stuff, Carm. I can't tell you the number of marriages I've been able to save.
Shopware's innovative shop management system will give you back your time and put more money in your pocket. Make the switch today and watch technician efficiency gain 20%, enjoy increased recommended service, and even grow the highest parts profit margins ever with the smallest amount of work. You know, Steve from Ultimate Automotive says, I love that Shopware lets you complete every estimate on the inspection, and we even have a higher ARO, receive more approvals, and have had a significant increase in revenue. With our previous SMS, estimating was limited because it was so time-consuming. This impacted not only what we could sell on each customer's current visit, but also what we would have prepared for following visits. Hey, your peers are happy. Let Shopware work for you. Book a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, Carm here for Apex. Now, for all the right reasons, we're not going to be face-to-face at Apex. Yet Apex 2020 is going full speed ahead to be a virtual experience. I'm really excited to participate in the virtual event because Apex will pull together some of the best and brightest training in this new, unprecedented virtual experience. It's still happening the week of November 3rd, the same week Apex was to take place. Virtual Apex will still have a big focus and commitment to the service repair community. Look for training and the chance to interact with the aftermarket community. See new product intros and more during this extraordinary event. Details will be ready for you on August 19th. There's also more information coming on the website at aapexshow.com/FAQS. I've heard the story, Rick. When I get out, and of course we've been under lockdown, but over the last 5 years I've been out a lot, brought the studio, spoke at a lot of events, moderated a panel. Of course, you've been on one or two of them, and here it is. People coming up to me saying how their business has changed, number one, from listening to the show, number two, from hearing the passion that we have in this podcast realm of getting a coach hired, because you've interviewed these coaches, because you've allowed them to come on and speak their piece. We got excited and we thought and we hired and we've changed. And Rick, you probably have 90%, and I'm saying, I don't want to say an approval rating, but 90% of the people that you've probably coached that were committed to it bow at the Rick White altar, and all the other coaches that have made such a difference. When I think of the number of essential voices of the aftermarket that we've interviewed as far as shop owners, and it seems like it's the most successful, when you look at their resume, they've hired a coach. They didn't get where they were alone.
Nobody does. Nobody hits success by themselves. Not even me. I have a coach. Carm, you had a coach last time we talked.
Absolutely. Now, I don't anymore because he decided to move on and do some other projects, but I'm looking again. But he was 4 years out of my five in podcasting, which helped shape where I am and what I'm doing today.
Absolutely. And again, Carm, you could have figured it out on your own, but how painful would it have been?
There are people calling me all the time about starting their own podcast, and they want to work with me and let me help them. And they said, you've been through it. I don't want to coach. I don't want to be a podcast coach, but I spent hours yesterday with two potential. I may build a network around them. Who knows?
You never know, right? So the first thing is, once you understand you need the help, now the second reason where it stops people up is the fear of a mistake, the fear of not choosing the right coach. And I'm going to tell you that 80% of what you hear from Bob or Cecil, myself, 80% of what we're going to give you is probably the same. I've never seen their other stuff, but I've sat down with Cecil. I've spent time with Bob. I know Bill Haas. Bill Haas and I have spent a lot of time together. And if I'm not saying somebody, guys, I apologize. But there's so many great coaches out there, but we all have different perspective and different experiences. And that's really what you're paying for. The most important part of picking a coach is finding a good fit. And if you've had a bad experience with a coach, please don't dismiss the concept of coaching. Recognize it wasn't even a bad coach. It was a poor fit. Because I guarantee you that coach has made a difference with other shops. So the biggest mistake is thinking that it's a mistake to hire someone. It's never a mistake to hire a coach. It's a mistake to stay with a poor fit.
We all have a certain heightened personality trait, communication trait, you know, be it dominance, extroversion, you know, steadiness, whatever. You've seen all the DISC tests and stuff. And if you're a dominant player, you know, in your business, you need to hire a coach that's going to be able to put you in your place and not, you know, you roll them over and you say, I didn't have a great experience, because that friction is there. It's mud or oil and water. I love your point. It is so well taken. If you're falling out of that connection, that partnership with your coach, don't give up on it. Find the other person, you know, hire a dominant, I think a Cecil right away. You know, he's gonna tell you what to do, and if you don't, he's gonna get in a plane and he's gonna come over and he's gonna hit you in the head. I don't know if I'm right, Cecil, or not, but
Cecil gets pretty intense. He's very passionate. And I think that's amazing. And it's passion for the client. It's passion for helping them see what is possible. Look, from a coach's perspective, when you have a client call you up on vacation, this is the funny story. I was driving home. I was up in Massachusetts seeing my kids, driving back to Virginia. And it was about 8 o'clock and I was in Hartford, Connecticut when my phone rang. And it was my very first client. And he called me up and he said to me, I said, what are you calling me for? You're on vacation. And he was down in Florida and he has a condo down there right on the Gulf. And this was before BP and all that crap. And he said, Rick, I'm sitting here watching the sun come up over the, you know, the Gulf and just having a cup of coffee on my balcony here. And I'm recognizing that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have this. That lit me up, right? I don't think my feet touched the ground for 3 days, right? Now, I'm a joker. Anybody that knows me, I tend to be pretty quick with the barbs and jokes and put downs, self-deprecating most of the time, I hope. But what I said to him was, I said to him, great, when do I get a key? At which point he swore at me, laughed, and hung up. So, you know, these are things when you help a client increase sales $500,000, when you get them so that they can quit their side job, their main job, so that they can make the shop their full-time job. And I'm talking about Eric Bach. Eric was an EMT dispatcher, a 911 dispatcher. For years, he opened up his shop, used to go to the shop at 6 a.m, work till 2:30, get washed up, drive over to the dispatch station, and then work from 3 to midnight, go home, unwind, fall asleep for 2 or 3 hours, and then get up and do the shop again. We were able to set a goal. We started coaching in October, set a goal for, I think it was the end of the summer, to be out of that job, and he quit in April.
Yeah, he told the story. He's come on the podcast, and he told that story. He's out in the Hamptons, and where everything costs 50 times that Starbucks coffee, I think, that you're drinking right there, probably costs $30. And
it might. It might. If they have a Starbucks, I don't know if they would lower
even
themselves.
Let them in. I get it.
But that's the thing. So the fear, understand that even if it's a poor fit, you are going to learn so much about who you are and what you stand for and what's important to you and what you disagree with. Because here's the thing. If your coach, you know, is talking to you about something and you have a hard time with it, if you can flip that negative into, well, I don't believe in that, which means I must believe in this, right? You can turn it around. What do I hate about this? Well, if I know what I hate, the opposite is going to be what I love. So there's always a learning opportunity here that's going to allow you to become a better leader, a better owner, a better manager, a better person. It absolutely blew me away. Brenda did this study with past clients. And I always thought, we used to say real people, real change, real results. That was our tagline. For the longest time, I was completely focused on getting their business better, their numbers better. But the feedback we got from clients, past clients and current, was that we've helped them become better fathers, better husbands, better, just better people overall. Because the reality is everything you learn in the business coaching environment can be translated into your personal life, because all coaching is about is relationship and communication. That's it. You know, I like keeping things simple, and that's what it's about. You can transfer everything to your personal life as well. And it's absolutely amazing to see it happen.
So you got to be willing, Rick, to fix you first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's that old saying that says, I hated the world, so I tried to change the world, right? And it didn't work. And then I tried to change my country, and that didn't work. And we go all the way down through the country, the state, the city, the town, you know, the street, my family to me. And then when we changed me, my family changed. And then when my family changed, my street changed. And when my street changed, my city changed. And when my city changed, my state changed. It has, everything starts with us, because the only things you can control in your life is what you're looking at, what you're focused on, the meaning you're giving it, the actions you're taking, the reactions you make, your intentions, mindset. That's it. That's all you got. That's all you can control. Okay? So everything you can control is inside your skin. And when you can figure that out, it's pretty amazing. The fear of making a mistake, let it go. How about living at $300 a week and continuing to struggle and stay stuck? You know, Theodore Roosevelt once said, there's three things you can do when you have a choice. You can do the right thing, the wrong thing, or nothing. And he said, the worst thing you can do is nothing, because you just keep getting what you've been getting, or it gets worse. The second best thing you can do is the wrong thing, because even if you're doing the wrong thing, if you have your sensory acuity up, you're watching and looking at your results, and you recognize you're not getting them, you can turn around. And then the third best thing is the right thing. So don't let this fear freeze you, incapacitate you. Just push through it and recognize that everything you want's on the other side of that fear. Everything, I promise you. I think that's really important.
With COVID, the pandemic, the lockdown, the fact that the industry was essential, we stumbled for a little bit, maybe a 45-day period. Then we refound our legs and opportunities. We marketed, people came, and now I talk to shops and they're, you know, they're just busier than I'll get out. Things are good. Now, you know, we're all thinking, are we going to have the normal go back to school slowdown in August and September? You know, all that stuff is going on. And it doesn't seem to be any new normal in there. Just take it as you can. Is the pandemic going to change how some shop owners look at hiring a coach? I think since we didn't do anything to grow and groom our business successfully pre-pandemic, we suffered a little bit because of that. Once we get up and out, do you think the coaching business is going to flourish like it's never flourished before?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, when I saw the pandemic coming, I was very proactive. So one of the things we did was we started a we called it Daily Dose, where every day we would get on and talk and keep everybody centered and focused. I will tell you that every one of my clients grew through the pandemic. That one shop that I was telling you about out in Indiana, their sales are up $231,000 for the year. What's going to happen with the pandemic is going to depend upon what the owner's belief system is. If they believe no one's buying and everybody's out of work and nobody's got any money, if those are their beliefs, what kind of actions do you think they're going to take? They're going to take very, very poor actions. And then what's going to happen is they're going to get really poor results, and it's going to reinforce the belief that people aren't buying. But if you go into it and say, you know something, yes, it sucks right now, and I feel for the 30 million people that are out of work right now. I truly do, and I want to help in any way I can. But there's still, you know, 75 to 85%, depending upon who you listen to, of the population is still working, and I can make a living with 75 to 85% of the population. With that, even the ones that are staying home, up until recently, they were getting paid more money on unemployment than they were making at their jobs. My daughter said it best. My daughter works for Rosetta Stone, the language company, and her husband's, believe it or not, a chicken farmer. The two of them have been home now since February or March, and she's going out of her mind because she's got an 11-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. But she's also said that she's never had more money. They've never had more money than they do right now. So it really depends on what we believe. If I believe that there's a lot of potential out there and I take a lot of massive action, I'm going to get better results, and it's going to reinforce the belief. So a big part of what we did is we started daily communication with our clients through Facebook meetings or Zoom meetings. We did Zoom meetings where they could come in, we could talk, ask questions, got them really on out in front of the social media, posting videos, keeping them focused. And that's part of what a coach does. Because I'll tell you, we actually started CARM. We have these inner circle groups that we do. And I started our third group right in the middle of the pandemic. And I had one shop that signed up that closed for 4 weeks. But 4 weeks before he signed up, he was like, nobody's working, there's no money. In 1 week, I was able to get him to open the shop up. He started at 3 days a week, I think it was. And within 2 weeks, he was booked out a month because there wasn't another shop in the area open. Okay, he got all kinds of new customers. His business just took off. He's up in Massachusetts. And a lot of it is really the mindset that you bring to it and seeing, you get to choose what you look at, right? Do I see problems or do I see opportunity and potential? And that really is what it comes down to. And a coach can help you step back. You know, it was funny, Brenda and I were watching Restaurant Impossible last night. Love that show. And he has actually started it back up where they're using buses and going over to the different restaurants he's rescued and helping them overcome the pandemic. And it's just a different mindset. It's looking for opportunities to step up and step out, stand out. Because it's also the thing about this pandemic, as bad as it is it really is giving you the opportunity to expand your audience as a business. Because there are so many people still at home, whether it's because of kids or no extracurricular activities right now, that people are just consuming video and record numbers. And you put some good quality short videos out there. I don't mean high quality, authentic. I have clients that I've really pushed them to do videos. And Carm, how much do people like to do video?
They don't.
They don't, right? You know, my secret to overcoming that fear of video is do 100 of them. Right? And then you're not afraid of it anymore. It doesn't bother you. You're never going to be perfect. I've done thousands of videos. Guess how many I've done perfect? Zero. There are no perfect videos. So just be authentic. Be yourself. Be real. Let them feel the intention and caring coming from your heart. You know, that's what's going to connect with somebody. You got to remember that people buy from people, not companies. And it's not going to be your warranty that brings them in and stuff like that. It's getting them to know, like, and trust you. Right? That's what it's all about. So getting out there and overcoming that fear. But one of the worst things you can do is record the video and then upload it to Facebook or whatever you're going to use. Because I have clients, no exaggeration, that have done a video over 90 times because I made a mistake here. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I did this wrong. Here's my secret. Go to Facebook Live, hit start, and just go.
Yeah, the intensity of live will allow you to make probably a few less mistakes because you can't overcome. You can't, well, we're recording this, so I'll retake. And that happened to me when I first started doing Town Hall Academies, Rick. I just said, oh my God, I don't think I have this perfected yet. And I just finally said to myself, I got consumed by the P word, the perfection word. And so I started, and then of course I said, wow, I got a baseline now. I can get better from that and more comfortable. And again, go back to, I wasn't authentic enough. So, you know, all your points are so well taken, and yeah, video is it. I'm so happy that you stopped by, you know, to talk about what stops a shop owner from getting a coach. Great words of wisdom. And I have a question to ask you. It's all about, I can't spend the money, you know, and what I would love to know from a coach's perspective, I'm on the phone, I'm interviewing you, maybe we're doing a Zoom call, I'm getting my feel for you as a coach, and will you help me and my business? And then I say, but you know what? My wife tells me this, or I tell my wife, we can't afford a coach. Do you ever put a precalculated, you know, let's put in your numbers here. Let's show you what the ROI on coaching could be if all of these things come true. Do you ever do something like that?
All the time. Because we've got to be able to do as a coach, in my opinion, especially in the discovery portion, is we've got to be purveyors of hope. Purveyors of hope, because a lot of times we're talking to shop owners that are jaded, they're disillusioned, they're like, nobody can fix this, it's the way it is. I was a fool to think I could do something different. You got to be able to overcome that, and the way you do is by giving them hope. You know, John Maxwell once said, if there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. And I think that is such a powerful, powerful quote. And you know, the thing is, a lot of times people say, I can't afford coaching. But the thing is, if you're looking at it as an expense, you're absolutely right. You're already in a hole, right? And if you're in a hole, the first rule in digging holes is when you realize you're in a hole, stop digging. It's not get another person to jump in and help you dig. So coaching should never be an expense. It should always be an investment, right? So if you, let's say you spend $20,000, $25,000 in a year for coaching. That sounds like a lot of money, but if you can increase your sales by $200,000 in that year, that almost seems like a no-brainer to me. You know, if you can increase them by $400,000. You know, it was funny. I had a shop that I was working with years ago, and he's right on the Maryland-West Virginia border, and his labor rate at the time, I think, was $45 an hour. At the time, I think my coaching was running about $15,000 a year. When I asked him at the end of the first year, do you want to keep going? He says, are you kidding me? I increased my sales by $75,000 and there's more money in my bank than I've ever had before. This is like a sure thing. Absolutely, I want to keep going. So there is the fear of the money, but I want you to understand the easiest thing in the world to replace is money. You know, we hold on to that money so tight, but the easiest thing in the world to replace is money. The hardest thing to replace is lost time with your family. It's when you're home, but you're still at the shop. You know what I'm talking about, right,
Carm?
Right? You go home and you're just kicking your ass all evening about something that didn't go right or something you didn't say or whatever it is. And it tears at you, man. So then you're not there for your family. And then you go to work the next day feeling bad because you blew the night before and you didn't get to connect with your kids or your wife. Or your husband or your partner, whoever it is. And then you get this cycle where your head's at home during work and your head's at work during home, and it really gets violent inside. So a big part of coaching is helping you compartmentalize and giving you back more balance in your life than you've probably ever had before. You know, a lot of times we get the wives involved. If I'm working with a male shop owner, we'll get their partner involved and sit down and talk to both of them and get them to have a discussion they've probably never had about what the requirements are and what do you need and how can we fulfill those needs while we're doing this. It's so important because I'll tell you what, Zig Ziglar said it best. You know, he said, if home base ain't right, ain't nothing right. You got to have home right first and then build.
You're right. And so many spouses may not even know. I mean, they probably see it in their spouse. They bring this work home. You could see it, the stress in their face, in their actions. They're not present. And getting that spouse to understand the challenges probably, as you say, helps improve the marriage And to me, that it is so critically important. One of the things that I was thinking about as we were talking about, you know, I can't afford to hire a coach, you can't afford not to, was the losses. I mean, yeah, you could say I can grow sales and maybe learn to justify it, but it's still about driving the profitability of the company. Now, if you bump into a company that's losing 20 grand and now all of a sudden they're making 60, that's an $80,000 turn. Yeah, swing. And I think that swing from loss to profit, and I know that there's many people listening that they're driving along, they're listening to this in their own private way, you know. The podcast is your own personal 40-minute 20 group. And, you know, so you're driving down, you're fly on the wall with Rick White, and you're saying, damn, they're talking about me. All right, well then, damn it, do something about it. Another thing I hear often, Rick, and I just got to run this by you. Carm, I intentionally lose money because I don't want to pay taxes. And I cringe when I hear the fact that I can't afford this, I'm not paying my bills, all because my strategy is to keep everyone in abeyance, always owing money, never making any money, having the lowest. First of all, you probably don't even want that client.
No, we hopefully can turn that client around because his belief system isn't serving him. The mistake there is starting a business, but really just creating a paycheck. And what happens, Karma, is a business is going to go through this period where they're not making any money, and they're just getting by. And then they start to make a little bit of money. And typically, they start to spend money like a drunken sailor. You really got to talk to them about that, right? But as they do it, they're not putting away for the taxes. Taxes are your best friend. Here's what I'm going to tell you straight up. You want to pay as much in taxes as you possibly can while paying as little as possible. And what I mean by that is, if you're not paying more taxes every year, then your business isn't growing, but you want a damn good CPA that's going to do everything they possibly can to minimize where you're paying taxes, but let's be fair, and pay only what I have to pay. But I want to pay more tax. Me personally, I want to pay more taxes every year because for me, it's a ruler. You know, I don't see taxes as a bad thing. I see taxes as rent for living in the greatest country in the world. And I'm willing to pay my fair share. When I pick up the phone and need a fireman or I need a policeman or I need the ambulance, right? I'm at 58. I'm starting to think ambulance someday, right? I'm down 42 pounds. We're working on this stuff. But I guess what? Ambulance or something? I want that ambulance there. That's where they come from, is my taxes. I want them there. I want them to be well paid. These people are putting their lives on the line every day with this COVID stuff. I want them well paid. I want their families well taken care of. I want to pay taxes. You know, the worst thing, if you ever hear an accountant tell you, hey, you're going to go buy something, you're going to pay taxes, find another accountant. You know, if you legitimately need something in the business, fine. But to go out and buy a brand new truck to take the one-time hit off the taxes, right? Great. So you get the $60,000 or $70,000 off on your taxes for this year, which, by the way, you would only be paying about 25 to 28% on, which means on $75,000, 25% is going to be what, Carm? About 20 grand, which means you get to keep another 50. $50,000 in my pocket, Carm, or a truck in my yard with a 7-year payment. Which would you prefer?
You're absolutely right. That mentality, it's an old mentality, but it's a mentality that it almost seems to me that the client is looking for something from the CPA to help justify that, you know, I'm paying X for his services or her services. It's one of those old legacy, you know, hey, I'm a businessman now here. I'm going to go out and buy all this equipment and all these trucks and I'm not going to pay any taxes. And you're right.
Well, that mentality kills cash flow.
Yeah.
What happens is now you have a $700 truck payment every month for the next 7 years. What does that do to your cash flow? So yeah, you save 20 grand, maybe 17 grand, one time to have a $700 payment over the next 7 years or 6 years. That's nuts. You don't want to do that. You got to understand when you're doing something like that, you're taking a loan, and a loan is buying something, paying for it later. You're stealing oxygen from your future for now, and it doesn't work. What you need to do instead is save. You need to set aside money every week or every month, whichever you got to be disciplined to do, so that when your quarterlies come up or when your taxes come up, you got the money. It's set aside. You're done. You don't have to worry about it. You do it a little bit at a time, and it's not a big deal. So you want to pay taxes. I'm going to tell you that straight up. You want to pay taxes, but you want to be fair about it. So the last reason why people don't sign up, okay, so let's say I get through the, you know, the expectations and I realize I really do need some help and I get through the fear part. Here's the next stage. The next stage is embarrassment. I'm embarrassed by where my shop is. I've been deluding myself. I recognize I need a lot of help and I don't want to show somebody what my numbers look like because I'm afraid they'll laugh at me or they'll make fun of me or whatever the case may be. But I want you to understand that where you are is not who you are. Okay. It is not your identity. It's just it's your current situation. It's you're at your destination right now that has been made by all the choices you've made up to this point. Okay. What you need is an outside influence. Remember, the laws of physics, an object stays in motion until another object comes in contact. You need that coach to help you get into a different place. Even a 2-degree shift, while it's nothing at the beginning, very quickly becomes a totally different destination. I want you to understand that any really good coach is never going to judge where you're at. We're not in the business of judging. We're in the business of serving, helping, and improving. So when we see numbers that are bad, we don't say, wow, holy crap, how could you do this? We step back and say, wow, look at the opportunity here to get better. That's what we see. So please take the embarrassment off. The reality is your coach is going to know you better than probably your spouse. If your coach is doing their job right, they're going to get to know you to such a degree. They're going to hear little changes in your voice and see little changes if they're doing a Zoom call where they're going to say, okay, what's going on? Something's not right. That didn't hit you right. What's going on? My clients are amazed I can pick up on that. But it's just being aware. Like, here's the baseline. I know what you're like when you're in a good mood and when you're receptive. Here's what you're like when you're not. And I can watch for those things. It's really, really important. Your coach is going to care so much about your success because honestly, your success fuels theirs. Let go of the expectations. They're not fair. They're not kind to you. Okay? Let go of them. You are amazingly brave for opening up a shop and stepping out on your own. And 99% of us, if we recognize what it took to do it before we did it, would never do it. Right? Ignorance is bliss sometimes. But the fact that you stepped out and stepped up, amazing. Let go of the fear of picking the wrong coach. Reach out. I'm sure you belong to different Facebook groups. Reach out. You're going to hear different people talk about different things. Talk to them and see what their differences are, the differences the coach has made in their businesses. And then, you know, sit down and set up a time to talk to the coaches. Now, you may sit down and talk to me and think, I'm a complete jerk. Oh, that's okay. I'm not, but you may think that. There are other people that just fall off every word I say, and it's okay either way. And that takes time, right? When you start with a coach, you should be cautious. But then as the coach helps you improve your business again and again and again, at some point your coach is going to recommend something, and you're just going to do it like that because you have that level of trust with them. But get outside of the embarrassment. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You know, there's an old quote that says, better to be a fool and ask a question than to be thought of a fool and never ask the question and stay that way.
That's the biggest learning curve in my life is if I could look back to when I started in business to where I am today, there was an evolution, Rick. You would say something right now and I sit back and I don't say a thing. I don't challenge you. I don't say, what does that mean? I'd be too embarrassed to stop and ask a question because I didn't know what you were saying. Rick comes in with this fabulous acronym, and I don't know what the hell it means, but I don't say it. And it goes on, and the conversation gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And I am now so lost in the conversation because I failed in the beginning to say, time out, stop. What does that mean? Explain that to me. I still don't get it. Go a little deeper. It took me years to stop realizing I didn't know what I didn't know. And if I don't ask the question, shame on me.
Absolutely. Because what you've got to be able to do, Carmen, is it's a three-step process. What you've got to be able to do when you're talking to a coach, you've got to be able to embrace what they're talking about. That's the first step. You've got to be able to put your arms around it and say, you know something, I don't know if I can do it, but I really like this idea. If you don't, that's when we've got to speak up, talk, push back, ask questions, talk about your concerns. Your coach has heard it. They're there to help and serve. If you say nothing, that's kind of like you get it, you're okay, and everybody's good. But the first thing you got to do is embrace it. The second thing you got to do is internalize it. You got to make it yours. And then the third thing you do is implement. Listen, shop owners, coaches aren't better than you. We're the same. We put our pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. We are not better. We're just further along on the path. That's all it is. So please, this comes back to that embarrassment thing. I guarantee you, I've got numbers that if I showed you, would absolutely, you know, they would just curl your toes from when I had a shop. So listen, man, go out and get a coach.
What I love about what you just said is, here I'm looking for a coach. I'm struggling, and I interview three or four coaches, and I pick one. Probably the problems that I'm having, you've seen before countless numbers of times. With a coach with your tenure, you're probably going to bring quicker decisions for me than I could ever make myself because of all the experiences that you've come across. I mean, you've outlined examples here of this was going on with this particular client, that particular client. So if you look at a client, you could almost say, in this situation, you remind me of Bob. In this situation, you remind me of Joe. And this, and you now bring all of these, what worked best for everybody, into a conglomeration for the new client.
Well, and the cool thing about a really good coach isn't going to give you a way to do something. A really good coach is going to help you see the options that are available. If you have no option, you're a panic. If you have one option, there's no options, right? If you have two options, it's a dilemma. It's not until you have at least three options where you can really make a choice, right? So by being able to give them different ways that they can do something to get to the outcome they want to get to, without having them feel like it's a franchise cookie cutter model, it really gives them the opportunity to create their business with the coach's guidance.
Rick White, 180 Biz. Thanks, man.
Carm, thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it. Look at man, if you're struggling, if your wife thinks the shop is competition, you need help. Go out, start talking to some shops that are got coaches, go to ASOG or whatever group you belong to, talk to them, talk to some of the coaches, interview some of the coaches, get to know them a little bit, and then make a decision and go. As I always say, do or do not, there is no try.
Love that quote from Yoda. I absolutely love that quote. Great ending.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.